Okay, do we have any other announcements or prayer requests? Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my flesh." He said, when you're partaking of the communion, you're partaking of his body. He said, "Take this as often as you will." Now, what Paul told us is that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they do not discern the body of Christ. So whenever there's a type, there's an anti-type. So we know if those people didn't discern the body of Christ, they got sick. We can know that if we do discern the body of Christ, we can expect to have health in our bodies, have healing in our bodies. And he said, take this as often as you will. You can take it two or three times a day if you want. And if you really get under a deep, heavy attack, I would suggest take it two or three times a day. But the most important thing to do is to discern the body of Christ and release your faith in what he did. We look at this bread, we'll see that this bread has been beaten flat. Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. And if you'll notice, there's stripes in this bread. And the Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. Our healing was paid for before our sins were. And in fact, God calls our healing a small thing compared to our sins. It took the death of his son to pay for our sins. If you'll notice, this bread has been pierced. Every time Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. And every time he shed blood, it paid for us to have redemption in some area. His body was broken and bruised. And if you'll notice, this bread is slightly burned. It is the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. So we thank you for this, and we're taking this for our healing and abiding in you. That shed blood of Jesus is the most amazing miracle-working substance that's ever been known to mankind. The blood of Jesus is still alive. It's still pliable. And it's still doing what God sent it to do. Washing away our sins. The blood of Jesus, it's because of the blood of Jesus that we're justified by grace. It's because of the blood of Jesus we've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. It's because of the blood of Jesus that our sins have been washed away and are continually being washed away. And it's because of the blood of Jesus that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it's because of that blood we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. So we thank you for this, and we honor and worship the blood of Jesus. Let's continue on with our adventure in creative love giving. Now, the last couple Sundays, we talked about how God gets people, both rich and poor, to interact with preachers, basically. The Elijah the prophet came through to the widow woman who was about ready to die. She was out of food, and they were in a terrible drought, a famine, and she was going to cook the last of her food for her and her son, and they were going to die. But God had a word for her through that preacher, and because of that and the way she responded to that, not only did she and her son survive, but the preacher lived too. And then we ran across this Shunammite woman who was very wealthy. And she seen the preacher coming by all the time, so she started feeding him. And then she made him a special room. And she got blessed because she had no children, but she got blessed because of that and ended up with a son of her own. And when the son, something happened to him and he died, she called on the preacher and came, and God restored her son. Now, we're going to talk about something that everybody should be involved in. Go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. There's lots of ways to plug into the blessing of God. Get this blessing of finances flowing through you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. Notice I didn't say to you, I said through you. See, he can't get it through you, there's a good chance he's not going to get it to you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. But whoso has this world's good, and see his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Literally, this right here is the acid test of Christianity, by which we know whether we are following the example of God's love to others. If we are not willing to give of material things to others in need, we certainly would not lay down our lives for them. Now let's look at verse 16 here, and we'll get this whole thing in context here. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we have to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now, verse 18 tells us two ways not to love. Number one is in word, which is by doctrine. Now, I know that each one of you come in contact with poor people on a daily basis. And especially if you leave town and you start going to gas stations or, you know, Walmarts or wherever you may end up, I know you're going to find them. They have signs. You can't miss them. Now, here's a bad habit for people to get into. Go up to this person and start telling them they need to go to church. They need to do this. They need to do that. And then walk away. You have done absolutely nothing. Literally. You didn't do anything. You just gave him your opinion. Invite them to church. That'd be a good thing. Don't just tell them to go. A lot of people like to tell people to go to church. Just don't go to, but what, the way it goes off, you need to go to church. But under their breath, they're saying, just don't go to mine. No, you should invite them to church. I mean, you come over here. The poor people. But there's a crazy idea. People want to invite people who are successful. They want to invite people who have money. They want to invite people who got it going on. In other words, they want a turnkey Christian that doesn't take much labor. That's a joke. Did you know that? That's a horrible attitude to have. We should go grab those ones that really need help the most and invite them in here. Let God do a wonderful work in them and you get to be a witness to it. Amen? Don't just love in deed. And don't love in tongue. You know, it's pretty easy to go tell somebody you love them or, hey, Jesus loves you, hang in there, you're going to be all right. Got your hand on your wallet, covering it up. You're going to be okay. I'm not just telling you things that I read, I'm telling you things the way I live by. When you leave town and you go on these adventures, wherever you may be, have some cash in your pocket. Have some 20s, whatever, in your pocket. So when you see these people with these signs that are in trouble, you have something to give. Amen? See, in verse 18, it also tells us two ways to love. Number one, indeed. That is by definite acts. That's by definite acts. You're going out of your way to pray for these people, and you're grabbing a little bit of money out of your pocket so that they can have something to eat. You know, Jesus fed thousands of scoundrels. He fed them the Word of God. But I want you to notice something that He didn't do to people in trouble. He didn't tell people, said, if you'd stop these adulterous relationships and go to church, you'd be all right. He could have said that to that poor woman that got thrown down in the sand. He didn't. He said, go and sin no more. We love people by definite acts. That's how we love in deed. And in truth. This is by being genuine in our doctrine, our profession, and in deeds. So not only are you going to pray for them and encourage them, invite them to church, you're going to grab a little bit out so they can get something to eat or maybe pay an electric bill or whatever it is. They may need help. People need help. There's people all over that need help. And then you may encourage them. Maybe you have a verse of scripture for them to encourage them with. There's lots of ways to minister to people. Now, here's the cool thing now. There's five blessings of genuine love. There's five blessings attached to all this stuff. Did you know that? 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. Hereby we know that you are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. So let's look at some of this stuff. Number one, we have confirmation that we are of the truth. Number two, we have assurance of a clean heart before God. It does give you a sense of ease and comfort when you help the poor. It does me. Number three, we have freedom from condemnation. See, this is a big thing. This is a big, big thing. We don't want to be involved with condemnation ever at all. Verse 20 says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemneth not, then we have confidence towards God. Remember, in Romans chapter 8, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. When we have confidence towards God, we have assurance of answered prayer. We'll have boldness in prayer. We'll have boldness in the world. We'll have boldness to step out and do the things that God has asked us to do. But if we've accepted some condemnation from somewhere, that boldness will shrivel up. We don't ever accept condemnation. We can have faith and confidence in God. You notice that? One thing about helping poor people helps us to have faith and confidence towards God. Why? Because we've attached our heart to His heart and got equally yoked with Him, and we're about helping people out. Yeah? God has a heart for poor people. Sometimes I think ministers get these crazy ideas that they've got to just focus on the rich people, and that's how their blessing's going to come. Did you know that rich people are not the source of your supply? God is the source of your supply. And when you get hooked up with His program, is His way of doing things, He can get finances to you. I don't care if you don't have any rich people in your church. Because He's the source. You know, one of the biggest blessings I ever received, ever, financial blessings, ever. I'm not going to tell you any names. I'm not going to tell you any amounts, but it was huge. The guy had never, since I've been here, not one single time. Just out of the blue, he came up to me and he said, God has put you on my heart. I'm just telling you, be about kingdom building. Be about kingdom support. Be about helping God's creation. go out there on purpose every day trying to be a blessing, waiting for a place to happen. You know, sometimes people get this idea, you know, $100, that doesn't mean nothing. I'm going to tell you something. Here a while back, this guy showed up and he's in a terrible mess. And he really needed some help. I said, you know, I got a couple $100. Whatever. So I said, here. And he said, you don't know. And I said, but before he even got it out of his mouth, I said, I do know. I know how much difference it makes in your life. I know. Here's the thing. Unless you've walked a mile in a man's shoes, don't you dare judge him. Don't you dare sit there and say, this is how I would do it if I was doing it, because you don't know how you would do it, because you've never been there. Unless you've never been there, don't. Just try to help bear one another's burdens. Well, if he wouldn't have done this, yeah, shut up. You don't know all the circumstances that got people in the mess that they're in. But you do have the key to their freedom, and his name is Jesus. Verse 22 talks about answered prayers. Isn't that fun? Have a heart full of assurance towards God because you're not operating in condemnation. You've been going about His business, going about doing things that He asked you to do. Now you can have assurance of answered prayers. Look at verse 23. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abides in us by the Spirit which He has given us. This ties it all together for us. You know, He blessed us to be a blessing. These are divine blessings for liberality to the giver. You know, when we give liberally, then blessings come back to us bountifully. I just touched the surface. I mean, I'm like a rank amateur compared to like Wayne Myers. That guy is absolutely amazing. He has such a selfless life. The first time I met him, he reached in his pocket and gave whatever he had in his pocket to this little girl. That's the first time I ever seen him, and he's just giving something away. And that's the way he lives his life. And he said, you should make it a point to give something away every day. I'm not quite that far. He's such a fanatic giver that people finally just got where they wouldn't give him the title. They'd give him a car, they wouldn't give him the title. Because he'd give it away. And then he wouldn't have a way to get around. Finally, they just didn't give him the title no more. They give him something, and he just figured that he was just a hose from heaven to earth. And whatever he got just went through him and to somebody else. That's just how he's lived his life. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, circle this verse. Get your favorite crayon and never lose track of this verse ever again. Every man, according as his pastor purposes in his heart. You're supposed to call me on that one. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So you're going to spend a little bit of time checking in with God and asking him, say, hey, you know, what do you want me to do here? What do you want me to do there? And he'll get you where he can talk to you on the fly. And you can just shoot for the hip. He can tell you just at the drop of a hat. You know, you can be busy doing something and going about your day, and he'll say, hey, right over there, $100. Hey, right over there, get this. You can meet that need right over there. But it's going to be amounts that are between you and God. And it's going to land in places that are between you and God. And you're going to get rid of this crazy idea. You're going to get it out of your head once and for all. Not all of it goes to the church. That drives pastors absolutely crazy. I say that. Yes, you should take care of the church. But guess what? I've known churches that had $250,000 in their bank account and had no missions that they supported. None. There are churches with millions and millions of dollars in their bank account. And when the storm hits, they close the doors. That's not right. But here's the thing, you're an individual agent with God. He has a design for your life. And you can be about your day. And I'm not talking yet, I don't have to come up with grandiose amounts. But sometimes, you know, you run into people that could use $5, $10, $15, $20 here and there. Sometimes buying a cup of coffee for somebody. Sometimes just simple things will change a person's day. Sometimes $100 will change the whole course of somebody's life for a week. You know, when you don't have anything, a little bit is a lot. Now there's four things that a man must do in giving. Number one, he must give willingly from the heart. Where are you going to make it? You're going to have to come up with an attitude of giving. You're going to have to get off of the supply and demand attitude and start looking at God as your never-ending, never-failing source of your supply. And you, he supplies you to supply somebody else. A man must not give grudgingly. He wants you to give with a free heart. must not give of compulsion. Now, here's the thing. This happens to people a lot. A lot. Preacher will get up there and give this booming message and get people excited, get them in a rush and get them up and get them on their feet and they're shouting hallelujah and they'll pass the basket around and say, give it, if God is your only source and He's already abundantly blessed you and your seed is just going to grow, 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 multiply. Don't do that. You're giving out a compulsion. Stop and go ask God, say, hey, do you want me to be a part of this? And so, how much do you want me to give? See, a lot of times I've ran into people that have given a lot of money into certain things. You know, they got excited, they got their hopes up, they got shouting hallelujah, and they had faith in the preacher and not in God. And they loaded this preacher up, and then they didn't get blessed like he said they were going to get blessed. And then they blamed God. Why? Well, their hearts were wrong. They were given to get. Don't get caught in that trap. You're giving because you already got. You receive from God, so you have something to give. And then He has something to work with in blessing you back. Amen? Have your hearts right. Have your heart in the right place. He wants you to be a cheerful giver. It should excite you. Here's the thing. You should get excited about giving into the kingdom. I'm going to change somebody's day. I might change somebody's month. You know, I might be a part of somebody getting born again. I'm going to give into this ministry, and this guy's going to go down the road, and he's going to buy gas with my money and food with my money, but he's going to get somewhere, and he might get somebody born again. I'm going to be a part of that. I got a story to tell you. I was from a small community in northeast Wyoming. There wasn't a whole bunch of people there. And they'd have these little meetings up there. And one time, and I didn't know God from a goat. I didn't. And I really didn't want to. One time this lady said, hey, you want to go to a cowboy church service? And I said, I never heard of one of those. I didn't know they had such a thing. Yeah, you can go out there and go to church. And I thought, well, what harm could a cowboy do? Well, I got up there and there's Glenn Smith and Crystal Lyons and Ray Lyons and Mike Morrison and Ann Smith sitting there. Needless to say, I got born again that day. But needless to say, that's the first time I come in contact with a preacher that didn't tell me I was going to hell. And you know what? He drove all the way from Midland, Texas to get there. Because somebody gave him some money so he could have some gas and get up there. They gave Crystal some money so she had gas to get up there. Thank God. I don't begrudge preachers having planes. I want them to have planes. I loved my pastor. He'd fly all over the place. And it wasn't just to go have a good time. He's going out to these little places out in the middle of nowhere that nobody else wanted to drive to. And he'd have Bible studies with these people. And then he'd fly back and have Bible studies with us. And then he'd fly over there, have a Bible study with them. And then he'd fly back, have a church service with us. And then he'd fly somewhere else, have a Bible study with them. He wouldn't have had enough time to drive there. He was going all over the place, reaching all kinds of people. You ready for a home run time? We'll finish with this. 2 Corinthians, verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. This is your home run time. Always having all sufficiency. That's true prosperity. True prosperity is not having stacked upon millions and millions and millions in your bank account. True prosperity is having all sufficiency at all times to meet every need that you come across. That's Jesus. He met everybody's needs wherever they were. If this is not true of any believer, he's coming short of gospel provision. Such grace is measured out according to the sowing. Remember in verse 6? This I say, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. This is the law. And there is no exception to the rule. And that this is the cause of failure to reap is further provided in verses 9 and 10. If you're not reaping, you're not sowing. God's given you seed to sow with. You want to reap a bigger harvest? Receive some more from Him and get it out there. If we give to the poor, it shall be given to us again. Let's look at... Yeah, we'll stop right there. I just gave you a good key. Poor people is a... This is a good key to plug into that. Sowing to poor people. Sowing into their lives. You know something? The goodness of God lead men to repentance. You know when you know there's a lot of poor people that have a really distorted vision of who God is. Because a lot of them have been treated so poorly by Christians that they don't want to know anything about God. But when somebody does something good to them in the name of Jesus, guess what happens? It opens their heart. They change their minds. They start changing their minds toward God. See, this is the true prosperity gospel. Your ministry field is out there and it's all over the place. I'm teaching you keys to plug into the blessings of God through your finances, and they're all over. There's opportunities everywhere. I don't know how many churches I've been to where they try to get focused, try to get people focused on bringing everything to that church. All of it. You want to know the first way to get me to not give? Tell me I have to. And then keep track of what I give. And then tell me I did it wrong. I've actually had that happen. One time, somebody that had no business in the world even knowing how much I even gave found out how much I gave, and then let me know I did it wrong. That's just crazy. I give all the time, all over the place. All over the place. And then people bless me. People pray for me. They do nice things for me. Why? Because I keep throwing it out on every wave. Pretty soon it comes back on every wave. Keep casting your bread on the water. Pretty soon it comes back on every wave. Loosen up a little bit. Enjoy life. It's funner this way. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your blessings. Father, we thank you for everything. Everything that you've freely given us with Christ Jesus. You've given us so much that we have the ability and the abundance to give to others. Father, we really do understand that your word and your life through us will change people's lives. It'll change our world. It'll change our existence. We can change our very atmosphere because of you. When we bring light into a dark situation, it changes everything. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have snacks and coffee and fellowship back here. Come on back.